You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Zakowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and co-hosting, again back by popular demand, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Ministerial Resources Development, the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz. How are you?
I'm great, Father Greg. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How long did it take you to get down to
work? Followed the Zakowitz plan, and I headed out way early, so Lakeshore Drive was smooth.
Yeah, I normally leave about 7:15 from St. Mary's in Evanston and come down Ridge, get over to the Lakeshore Drive, and left about 6:45, was down here about 7:25. All I notice in our area, Evanston, about 2 inches of very wet, heavy snow.
Yeah.
If you go northwest, it's about 5 or 6 inches. But, you know, really, in all seriousness, for those who are shoveling, please, please be careful. This is called the heart attack snow.
Right.
And, I'm not making a joke at all, but this weather, you have to be very careful. It's such a wet, each scoop of the shovel is so heavy because it's such a saturated snow. But, Grass, we've had such a mild winter. Nothing to complain about.
Cannot complain.
I remember back in November, they're talking about how brutal this winter will be. It'll match last year by way of amount of snow, like 55 inches. And we've had under 20 inches of snow for the winter so far.
I had a young boy knock on my door early December saying, if you need your snow shoveled, here's my name and phone number. Please call me. He was a nice kid. I said, absolutely. You got the job. Never called him once.
It wasn't that bad. We had a couple of snows in January, but our phone number, what is our phone number here?
312.
We've got it here somewhere.
Right there.
255-8408. That is blank for a second. 312-255-8408 here on Catholic.
Don't worry,
Community
Greg, it gets easier.
our engineer, Brian, said, is this my first day at work?
Not great. I'm deeply disappointed that you didn't make a comment about my tie.
Show's not over.
I was expecting you to say, did you lose a bet?
Didn't realize those ties were coming back.
Yeah, I was trying.
I wish our audience could see that less tie.
I'm trying to put us in a springy mood.
It's one of the ugliest ties I've ever seen. No, it matches my sweater.
But there's a flower growing right down the hall here in the lower level with no sun, no windows. There's a flower that looks just like my tie.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
So. I have to get one like that. We got to get our program purple here today. Today, during Catholic Community of Faith, we will focus on the beginning of Lent, in particular the practice of almsgiving and service to the poor. And we will talk with three people later on, including the presenter, about the upcoming Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture. But with us, not in studio, but rather by phone, Adrian Curry, the Program Director for Catholic Relief Services for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Adrian directs the annual Operation Rice Bowl effort, which is Catholic Relief Services' Lenten program that began back in 1975 in the Diocese of Allenton, Pennsylvania, as an ecumenical response to the drought in the African area. For more than 35 years, Operation Rice Bowl has offered Catholics in the United States a way to connect with our brothers and sisters in need around the world through the traditional Lenten practice of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Nearly 13,000 faith communities across the U.S. participate in the program, which each Lent to demonstrate solidarity with the poor around the world. And Adrian Curry, we wish you were here with us in studio, but I know you're at the Meyer Center because of the weather. Good morning, Adrian. Yes.
Good morning, Father Greg. How are you?
Good. We also have here Graz with us too. So
hi, Graz.
How are you doing, Adrian?
Yeah. Good. So listen, maybe for our listeners, that was a little summary that I just gave about Operation Rice Bowl. But how many years have you been involved with Operation Rice Bowl, Adrian?
14.
And so, mm-hmm. To some of our listeners who may not be aware of it, I'm sure most are, with a little synopsis that I gave, maybe in your own words, what is Operation Rice Bowl and why?
Well, it's a Lenten program from Catholic Relief Services. It involves prayer, almsgiving, and fasting, and learning. And the monies raised help development projects in countries overseas. This year's featured countries are Madagascar for agriculture, Vietnam for education, El Salvador for water and sanitation, Zambia for microfinance, and India for mother-child health. The last week of Lent is usually focused on a U.S. diocese, and this year it's the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. 75% of the monies raised goes to the development projects throughout the world, and 25% stays in the Archdiocese of Chicago to support hunger and poverty alleviation projects. And so last year, we gave 39 food pantries and shelters over $49,000 in grant monies. And so it's a good way of people to be in solidarity, not only with people overseas, but with people here in the Archdiocese of Chicago who are hungry as well.
Wonderful explanation. I was not aware, Adrian, that some of that money stayed right here in the city.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. So it's mainly food pantries that you've been helping out?
Yeah, we support food pantries, and if a parish is doing something around hunger education, that's where the money goes.
And what's the primary way that the money is raised?
Through Rice Bowl. Parishes can keep their 25%, or they can send in their whole amount, and I allocate 25% out of what is sent, and then that goes to fund the grants.
For those who don't know, tell us how that works, actually, the Rice Bowl. Is it those little banks?
Yes. It's a little box that turns into a paper bowl. Inside of it is the calendar, so that's something new they've started a couple of years ago. Instead of ordering separate calendars and banks, you get the whole thing in one. And parishes can order materials in Spanish and English. All of it is free. And we also have translation of some of the materials in Polish, Chinese, Tagalog, the Filipino language.
Tagalog,
and Swahili.
Well, let me ask you this, Adrian. How much was raised for Operation Rice Bowl last year in the Archdiocese?
Last year we raised over $200,000.
I mean, that is truly amazing in this tough economy to raise over $200,000. I mean, we do it at St. Mary's in Evanston, and I know many, many parishes in the Archdiocese do it. And the thing is, Adrian, I think people are beginning to understand, they get it in terms of what this means. And also, to have those little boxes, it's a hands-on, and when people are filling those boxes with loose change during the season of Lent, that money does begin to add up.
Oh, sure. Sure, and some of our parishes are quite generous when it comes to participating in Operation Rice Bowl, and that really helps locally and globally.
Well, I do know that we had for Ash Wednesday at St. Mary's at our Masses a special collection for Operation Rice Bowl, and I'm telling you, people very generous because they know what it's about.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing that.
Excuse me.
We look forward to getting it to you.
So, who are the primary users of the little boxes? Is it school kids? Is it adults? Is it everybody across the board? How's that work primarily?
Actually, it's everybody across the board. Parishes do it. Schools do it. Non-Catholic groups do it. You'd be surprised how many people participate in Rice Bowl. Just before we went on the air, Diane told me that back when we were all in one building at 155, the people on the fourth floor used to have a lunchtime soup and, if you will. They'd make soup, and then they'd save the money that was saved during lunch would be used for Operation Rice Bowl. Well, now the group is down to three, but they're going to do that again this year. So everybody participates in Rice Bowl.
Yeah. So when I get to my local church, I should look for these boxes, like in the back of church?
Yes. And if you don't see them, call me and or ask the pastor, would he like to participate next year?
Excellent. Well, we need to move to a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Adrian Curry about Operation Rice Bowl and other ways that we can observe the season of Lent. Don't go away. We'll return after these brief messages.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
When a neighbor's cupboards are bare, we help. When our cupboards are bare, we need your help. The past few months have been the most difficult for families that come to Catholic Charities for food. Demand is up and donations are down. Help us restock our shelves so we can feed those in need this winter. Visit CatholicCharities.net/food or call 312-655-7525 to find out how you can help.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sackowitz.
You notice, Graz, I'm looking at Brian Hockey Hitman Brock, our engineer. Brian, you listen, you got a haircut? It looks like your wife got a new set of head bowls. That's nice.
You know, Greg, I also feel badly that you didn't notice I'm wearing Lenten purple.
Yeah, you're really in the season.
You know, yeah. Now, Adrian, you noticed I was in purple, right?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
From the telephone.
You noticed that I'm wearing purple for
Oh,
Lent.
Sure. I could see that through the phone along with the loud tie.
Yeah. See, and all the listeners
I'm
out
very
there
impressed, Graz.
Knew that I'm wearing purple.
It's the only shirt you own. It's the only shirt you own.
Yeah. It's purple, and the tie is purple, and it's a purple day.
As long as people drive safely and be patient.
All right. Do you have a question for our
wonderful
guest?
Yes, Adrian, in all the years you've been involved now with Operation Rice Bowl 14, I'm sure there's been a lot of success, which we'll talk about, but in the work that you do, what frustrates you the most?
I think the biggest frustration is I never really know who has participated in Rice Bowl until I get the report at the end of the Lenten season. Because parishes sometimes do it, and then they decide they're not going to do it, and then new parishes do it, and it's very confusing because the archdiocese is so big, and That's probably my biggest frustration.
Well, Adrian, there's roughly about 365 to 70 parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago, you know, Cook and Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
On the average per year, about how many would participate, roughly?
A third.
A third?
A third.
See, I thought it would have been higher.
No. That is my goal, to get 100%.
All right, let's get the numbers up this year.
Well, then, yes. Then with one-third participating and the other outside groups, you still totaled over $200,000 last year.
Yes.
That is amazing.
We have some very generous parishes.
Well, Well, let's get your phone number out there right now so that all of our listeners who belong to parishes that are not doing Operation Rice Bowl can call you, get a supply of the little cardboard boxes, and bring them to their church and say, could we please do this?
Well, actually, it's kind of late to do it now because we're into Lent, but they can certainly do it for next season.
All right.
And then give us, since we still have you.
Can I get one for myself, though?
Oh, sure. You can get one for yourself.
Okay.
What is the phone number, by the way, if someone wanted to call right now?
312-534-8367.
That number once again, Adrian.
312-534-8367.
And what about a web?
acurry@archchicago.org.
Oh, that's your email?
That's my email.
What about a website?
CRS.org, www.crs.org.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Adrian, that the money going for this year, you named like three or four places. I mean, there could easily have been 50 places throughout the world that the money could have gone to. So how are these places selected?
They're selected through the national headquarters in Baltimore, and generally it's two African countries, a couple of Asian countries, and a Latin American country.
Adrian, I know you've had the opportunity, the privilege to visit Africa at least once or twice.
Three times,
great. Mm-hmm. Were you able to visit any of the places that have been recipients of the Rice Bowl money?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. This year, one of the countries is Zambia, and I was privileged to go to Zambia. That was my last trip to Africa on behalf of the Cardinal, and I got to see some of the CRS projects while I was there.
And what were some of the projects?
I saw some of the farming projects, some of the microfinance projects. The late Bishop Duffy took us to the HIV/AIDS clinic, which is a recipient of PEPFAR money from the U.S. government. So I was able to see PEPFAR working. So it was quite interesting.
Well, the thing is, if you go back to 1975, and this might be an unfair question, do you have any idea, Adrian, how much has been collected in now about 37 years?
Well over $111 million.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Over $111 million since the inception back in 75.
Yes.
That's an incredible amount of money. I had no idea it was that much. Did you?
Not a clue. I just love the whole idea of it because, one, it makes me remember what it was like being a kid and using those little banks.
Mm-hmm.
But two, it's, as you said earlier, Greg, it's a very hands-on, visible thing. Each time you drop a coin in there, you know that even though it's a small amount of money, it's going to make a big difference.
You know, there's a great line that says, like what you do, Adrian, that you know, when you ask for money, it is still difficult to get. When you don't ask for money, it's impossible to get. And so what you're doing is you are asking, but not for yourself, but for these people throughout the world. Now, do you sometimes find, Adrian, the fact that, now granted, some of the money stays local, but most of it goes overseas, that when people can't see where their money's going, it's like out of mind, out of sight, that people sometimes tend to be less generous or more generous?
I usually approach it with, people, not only are you helping the people overseas that you don't see, but you're helping the people in your community that you do see. Because of these hard economic times, there are more people having to rely on food pantries and whatnot. And the money goes out to the food pantries usually in June when no one's thinking about hungry people. They usually think of them around times of Thanksgiving and Christmas, but in the summer people are thinking, oh, I'm going on vacation, but those people are still hungry. So food pantries are empty, and they are so grateful that they get the money.
You know, one of the great things about the fact that the church celebrates Lent every year is that it reminds us through the three traditional Lenten practices that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Adrian, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, that caring for the poor is not an option.
No.
That it's essential, it's constitutive to what we are as a Christian people. And thank God for that reminder, because if we ignore that responsibility, we ignore an essential aspect of what Christ calls us to.
Yes, that is so true.
Look at Jesus spent most of his time with the poor,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The homeless, the oppressed.
And I'm so touched by the fact that most of the saints, no matter how, quote, spiritual they were, no matter how much time they spent in prayer and other things, they never neglected the poor.
Yeah, every one of them.
They never neglected the poor. They spent so much of their time and their efforts in caring for the poor.
We are going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Zakowicz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guest is Adrian Curry, the Program Director for Catholic Relief Services for the Archdiocese. And Adrian does a wonderful job with Operation Rice Bowl. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after this break, and do not touch that dial.
Today we are told, be imitators of Christ. Extend his mission in the world. Be his generous, healing, and compassionate presence.
Be imitators of Christ. The words of St. Paul used by Cardinal Francis George to encourage your generous participation in the annual Catholic Appeal 2012.
In the Archdiocese of Chicago, the annual Catholic Appeal sustains Catholic schools and parishes, programs of religious education and ministerial formation, and initiatives to foster respect for life and to make the world more just, peaceful, and loving.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. It's our chance to live, proclaim, and grow our faith.
In this year, dedicated in our Archdiocesan Pastoral Plan to teens and young adults, the annual Catholic Appeal supports efforts to pass on the treasures of faith to a new generation of believers.
The annual Catholic Appeal is a pledge campaign where you can make a gift payable in installments, and those gifts translate into charity felt in your parish, across the Archdiocese, indeed around the world.
Beyond the Archdiocese, the Appeal serves people in need worldwide through Catholic Relief Services without regard for religious affiliation when their lives are devastated by illness, wars, and famines, and by natural disasters.
Please give generously to the annual Catholic Appeal. Make your pledge at your parish or go to www.annualcatholicappeal.com. That's www.annualcatholicappeal.com. It's your chance to do God's work throughout the year.
Every element of our mission, every one of our efforts, reflects our service as imitators of Christ.
Friday morning in Chicago, we're moving on 9:23 on this blustery morning with a little bit of snow, but it's not really that cold. It's going to melt before we know it.
Gross, did you notice who gave the last announcement? It was our producer, the golden voice of Diane Dunnigan.
She's
beautiful voice.
She's an amazing lady.
Yeah, very gifted.
Very gifted. She's got that great voice. She's a wonderful
calm,
producer. She always gets everything.
Keeps
she
us
gives
straight.
Gives you lots of information.
Keeps us straight.
Keeps us straight.
Not easy.
She's very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we going to do?
And
she wants us to stop praising her. She's very humble.
The time is 9:23 and our phone number, 312-255-8408. But we wanted to say thank you to Diane. Adrian, and the thing is, what would you want to tell our listeners that you haven't said so far that'd be the most important in the last few minutes?
I would say that if you participate in Operation Rice Bowl, not only are you helping the poor overseas and the people here in the Archdiocese, but also with the materials, you're praying for those people, you're giving alms to those people, you're hearing the stories of the people who have been, the countries who are designated for Rice Bowl, and you're getting recipes and principles of Catholic social teaching each week. So the calendar is chock full of information that you can use with your families around the kitchen table.
You know, the reason I mentioned the saints was because just this past week, I watched a full-length movie about the life of Padre Pio on YouTube.
Did you really?
I had no idea. It just popped up. A full-length movie, free, on YouTube. It's in Italian, but with subtitles. It was amazing. But I bet most people don't realize. I mean, Padre Pio's known for the Stigmata. He's known for, you know, some amazing miracles. He devoted so much of his life to raising money to build. It was his life's dream to build a hospital.
I did not know.
In his little town. It's called the Institute for the Relief of Suffering, something like that. And
did he see that hospital come to
He did see it, even though his religious order that had made some bad investments took all of his money that he had set aside for that hospital in order to recoup what they had lost
now
on their bad investments.
The Franciscans?
But he still managed to do it.
That's amazing. Yeah. I did not hear that about Padre Pio.
But it was because he was so in tune with how much God loves all of his children and has a special concern for the poor. And so he shared in that, and he made sure that they did not go uncared for.
That is amazing.
Adrian, I know that CRS puts out some materials about what people can do in their home. Is there one thing that you could highlight that people could do during this Lenten season within their own homes?
Oh, sure. I would say make full use of the Lenten calendar that comes with the rice bowl, because you get stories, you get ways to save money, and you get tasty recipes that people overseas, some of the foods that they eat. So it's interesting. I've had some of the recipes, and they're quite tasty.
Now, maybe give us again the web site for people to get to this, maybe online.
Sure. It's www.crs.org/ORB.
Do that one more time.
www.crs.org/ORB.
And if somebody had a call for you, Adrian, to maybe ask you some more about Operation Rice Bowl, give us your phone number.
312-534-8367.
That number once again.
312-534-8367.
In the last minute, Adrian, where do you see things going with you in the future with Operation Rice Bowl?
I hope to one day get to 100% participation. That is my goal.
Well, let's make that our prayer also here today, that the diocese will respond in that generous way, because this is one of the most generous dioceses in the country.
Yeah, people
yes,
are.
It is.
And especially, you know, Gratz, during Lent, during Christmas, you know, all people are generous, but Catholics are phenomenal in really digging deep and responding to the needs of the poor. So I want to thank, in a wonderful way, Adrian Curry, the Program Director for Catholic Relief Services for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Adrian directs the annual Operation Rice Bowl effort. This is now her 14th year. Adrian, you are always a joy to have on the radio. Keep up your marvelous, marvelous work, and God bless you.
Thank you, Father Greg. God bless you.
Have
too.
A great day. Bye-bye.
I'm going to say,
bye-bye.
As we go to break, our number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Grata Marcheschi, who was co-hosting this morning. And if you're driving, please be careful. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Explore antique mechanical curiosities, including a 19th century steam engine and a European carousel. Enjoy an elegant dinner and participate in an auction emceed by WGN radio personality Gary Meyer, all at Catholic Charities Hearts for the Homeless fundraiser on Saturday, April 28th. Held at the magical San Filippo Estate in Barrington Hills, the event benefits Catholic Charities Northwest Regional Services and its New Hope Apartments program. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. The time is coming up on 9:31 in Chicago, but Grazia, realize that by Sunday they're talking partly sunny and 47.
You're right.
So the snow is rough today and maybe part of tomorrow, but it will be melted by Sunday. They're talking 40s next week, and next Thursday is the 1st of March.
You know,
that includes, of course, leap year on Wednesday, the 29th. And,
oh, that's right. It's a longer February.
A longer February. But we have a tremendous second half of the program. In studio, Sister Joan McGuire, Director of the Archdiocese Office for Ecumenical Interreligious Affairs. And in studio, Tom Masters, former high school and college teacher, now an author and editorial director for New City Press, the North American Publishing House for Focolare, a lay ecclesial group in the Catholic Church. And by phone, John L. Allen Jr., contributing senior correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter, senior Vatican analyst for CNN, and author of a NCR blog and NCR online web column called All Things Catholic. And John Allen is also the author of several books about the Catholic Church, including two biographies of Pope Benedict XVI. John and Sister Joan and Tom, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Father Greg.
Terrific to be here. Good morning to everybody.
And John, we are calling you, John, from where?
I am actually, at the moment, in a departure lounge at the Denver International Airport. Usually when people ask me where I live, I tell them a series of airport departure lounges.
Well, Denver with those mountains, that's a wonderful place to be, but I don't know about your particular spot.
One of the very last things I saw last night before going to bed were photos that my sister-in-law brought with her from Steamboat Springs, Colorado, where she has a gorgeous home right up on top of the mountains.
Well, I understand it's been great here over the last few days. However, I just got back from Rome 48 hours ago, so I can give you more insight to the meteorology of Rome these days.
You're back from the Holy Land. I see. That's great.
I know, John, I know you're very well-traveled. Now, before we go to Sister Joan, I know that you are going to be the keynote speaker for the 17th Annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture, and you're... title this year for the talk is what, John?
Well, the broad picture is talking about the current state of Catholic-Jewish relations in the early 21st century. So I'm sort of surveying the landscape, not just in the United States, not even principally in the United States, but the kind of global realities, the new global realities that are shaping this relationship and carrying it forward.
And Tom, what part are you going to play in this whole thing?
Well, as a representative of one of these lay ecclesial movements, our specialty, if you want to put it that way, is developing dialogue. And it's interesting in John's book, Future Church, he talks about how that dialogue is changing over time and as generations change. And that's something that we have a lot of experience with.
Sister Joan.
I just want to say it is well known around the world that I am an amico dei focolarini. That is
right.
Tanto.
Aren't we all?
I want to have put it on my business card.
Right.
I'm delighted that you're with us.
Yeah, in our hearts, aren't we all?
I have a daughter with the same first name as the founder of the Focolare movement, so I have great fondness for them as well. Sister Joan, tell us about the significance of the Cardinal Brendan Jerusalem lecture.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that came about 1995 when Cardinal Bernardin was invited to speak at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. So a trip was arranged with a delegation from our partners here in Chicago, with whom the Catholic Church has had a long relationship. And the Cardinal spoke and gave his historic presentation on anti-Semitism. And then on the return, it was determined that we should keep this conversation going. And so we're into now the 17th year. And our sponsors are our partners from the American Jewish Committee, the Archdiocese of Chicago, of course, the Chicago Board of Rabbis, the Jewish Federation of Metropolitan Chicago, and Spertus Institute of Jewish Studies. So with those sponsoring it each year, it has developed some wonderful topics, and we're happy to have John Allen with us today.
That's magnificent.
Well, speaking of John Allen, tell us why you selected him as this year's speaker.
Well, we gathered together, and one year a Jewish person is selected, and one year a Catholic. And when we listed names of Catholics, this is one that came up, and I think it was because of this kind of forward-looking and looking into the future, and I think that we all know that things are changing very much, and it just seemed like an appropriate way to go forward.
Yeah,
John, in all your years that the work you have done, what shifts have you seen along ecumenical lines?
Well, I think that there are a couple of sort of big picture trajectories playing out that have enormous consequences for the churches, both its ecumenical relationships, meaning relationships with other Christian groups, and also its interfaith relationships. One that just sort of smacks you in the face as you move around the Catholic world is the demographic transition in the church from the global north to the global south. We live in a Catholic church today in which 2/3 of the Catholics on the planet are living in the southern hemisphere. Africa, Asia, Latin America. By mid-century, that's going to be 3/4. Inevitably, that means that new ecumenical and interfaith vision is going to be bubbling up at least in equal measure from the South than from its traditional points of origin in Europe and the United States. So that's got to be factored in. I think the other thing, particularly when it comes to the relationship with Judaism, is that this relationship, although it's been around forever, got a new lease on life in the period immediately after the Second Vatican Council in the mid-1960s, and the great pioneers were Catholic churchmen on our side who had lived through the Second World War, who had seen the horrors of the Holocaust, and who felt a personal, emotional, biographical stake in moving this relationship forward. And although their legacy will endure, those guys, for the most part, are passing from the scene. A new generation of dialogue partners is rising up, and it's important that we sort of lay out what the ongoing basis for this relationship is going to be.
John, I don't know if you remember, we first met before you became the stellar Catholic personage that you are now. We visited up at Mundelein Seminary.
Before I was John Allen?
Yes, that's right. You weren't John Allen yet. You were right on the cusp.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember your visit to Mundelein Seminary.
Sure, I do. I remember my multiple visits to Mundelein Seminary.
Well, do you remember the one where you and I visited?
I do, yes, okay. Very well.
He took you for a tour, John.
I showed you all the sites. But listen, I've been watching with great fascination your evolving career in Rome. You were just about to head to Rome when you and I met to set up the NCR office there. And I don't know if all of our listeners are aware of the incredible work that you've done. In a lot of ways, you know, I'm not at all surprised that John's name surfaced, you know, among the list of Catholic people to speak for this lecture, because John has really become the go-to guy for all things Rome and all things papal. You really have become a very strong voice, and your book, let me see if I get The Future Church, How 10 trends are revolutionizing the Catholic Church made a really strong impact. I know it was widely quoted, widely discussed. You had opportunities to speak all around the country because the 10 things you pointed out really struck a chord. So I know we're very honored that you will be coming to give this talk. Talk a little bit about the perspective that you gained from your years specifically working in Rome.
Well, I think the first thing that just hits you over the head like a hammer is the global realities of the church. You know, coming from American Catholic circles, you know, we tend to think we're the whole show. But, you know, you start running the numbers. Of the 1.2 billion Roman Catholics in the world today, 65 million of them live in the United States, which means that we are exactly 6% of the global Catholic population. Put another way, that means 94% of the Catholics in the world, in important respects, aren't like us. And, you know, this helps explain why the Pope, when he gets out of bed in the morning, is not always thinking American thoughts. You know, it's a much bigger and more complicated church out there. And Rome, in that sense, is the great crossroads of the Catholic world. I mean, on a typical day when I'm in Rome, I just spent almost all of February there. You know, a typical day, I might have breakfast with a visiting bishop from Benin, who I'd met during the Holy Father's trip there. A few months ago, you know, I might have lunch with journalistic colleagues who are in town from Latin America, and I might be at an embassy reception later that night, you know, hosted by the Embassy of the Philippines to the Holy See for visiting Asian bishops. I mean, you just develop a sense of what the conversations are around the Catholic world and how different the priorities and perspectives are. And I think for American Catholic conversation, which can at times, and I say this with great respect, can at times be a little insular, that dose of global perspective is an enormously healthy thing.
We're going to continue this conversation. That's a great insight. Sometimes we forget there's a world outside the U.S. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guests are Sister Joan McGuire, Tom Masters, and John Allen. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Maybe a question for one of our guests. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Catholic Charities West Regional Advisory Board will host its 9th annual St. Patrick's Day fundraiser on Thursday, March 8th from 6:30 to 9:30 at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, Illinois. Tickets are $50 in advance and include hearty Irish fare, soda, spirits, music, and dancing. The event benefits Catholic Charities' New Hope Housing Program in West Cook County. For more information, call 708-329-4022 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/STPATS.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and we thank you for spending this time as part of your morning with us. We hope that you're praying with us as you listen, praying for all the good works that are done through the efforts of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sackwitz, and talking this morning with Sister Joan McGuire, the director of our Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, with Mr. Tom Masters, who is the editorial director for the New City Press, an arm of the Focolare Movement, and with Mr. John Allen, senior, what do we call you, senior Vatican analyst for CNN, for NCR, and just an amazing internationally known journalist who has written numerous books.
And who was talking to us from the Denver International Airport.
On your way to where, John?
I'm actually on my way to Milwaukee for a couple of speaking gigs. Let me also say, by the way, you were welcome to continue calling me the senior Vatican analyst for CNN if you like, but before you get terribly impressed by that, you should know I'm also the only Vatican analyst at CNN.
You are the office. You didn't have to tell us that, John.
That's right.
You have so many accolades that you don't need one.
It's always great when you say that. You had three teams, and we ended up second.
So right.
Yeah, big accomplishment.
Let me ask Tom, as we talk about interfaith issues, how do you invite people into that conversation, particularly young people who maybe don't know some of the history of the Jewish people, who don't know some of the history of the 20th century and the Holocaust and things of that nature? How do you draw them into that conversation?
Well, the first thing, of course, is to recognize the importance and the value of the young people and of their opinions. Just because they come from someplace else doesn't mean that those opinions don't have weight. And I can give you an example of something that we have structured during our annual Mariopolis, as it's called, which we hold at Valparaiso University, where we spend an afternoon in conversation where there will be people from a variety of different perspectives. For example, someone from the American Sikh community, someone from the Black Muslim community, someone from the Jewish community, someone from a Christian background, who engage in public dialogue with a panel of young people who bring their questions about how do you live this, right? Because I think what's really important is to ask people not about doctrinal issues or not about theological issues, but about life. And what do we have in common? And then how do we go ahead? How do we live together, given our differences, but also given our similarities?
Now, John, as we look into the future, what are some of the biggest challenges facing the Jewish community, and also as Catholics, how do possible trends impact our relationship with the Jewish community?
Well, look, I think at the big picture level, in terms of the Catholic relationship with Judaism, what's happening is that we are living through a kind of historic transition from a period in which the relationship with Judaism was the paradigmatic interfaith relationship of the Church, that it was the lens through which we saw all of our other relationships, and then the kind of psychology and language and methodology of engaging other religions all came out of our work with Judaism. We're moving from that to a period in which the paradigmatic relationship is instead the relationship with Islam. And that is quite understandable given a number of, you know, post 9/11 realities in the world, the fact that the center of gravity in Catholicism is shifting to the global south and so forth. But it also means that it makes even more urgent the importance of laying out what the lasting basis of the relationship with Judaism is going to be in terms of keeping it on the Church's front burner. Because I think the danger could be it could come to be seen as nice and important and valuable, but a kind of second-tier priority. And it's important.
Do you see that happening,
not
John?
Not through bad will, but just through inattention that not happen.
Do you see that happening, becoming no longer on the front burner, or was that a fear of yours?
Well, no, I think it is quite clear. I mean, seen from Rome and seen from the kind of conversations that go on at senior levels of the Church, it is quite clear that, you know, 40 years ago, even as recently as 20 years ago, the bulk of the Church's time and treasure was still being invested in the relationship with Islam when it comes to Judaism when it comes to interfaith stuff. Today, it is much more Islam that is driving the train, which doesn't mean that people are no longer interested in the relationship with Judaism. It just means, given global realities, the engagement with Islam seems to be more urgent. And my point is that I think people who are involved in this relationship have seen that happening for some time and are right now engaged in a process of reflection of trying to lay out what the great pillars of the relationship with Judaism are going to be that are going to keep this a front burner priority into the 21st century.
Just a quick sidebar, John. having spent so much time in Europe, not just Rome, but I'm sure you get the flavor for the continent through there. What are some of the winds that you feel blowing through the European continent in regards to the growing influence of Islam in the various countries?
Well, I think it's a kind of best of times, worst of times dynamic. The worst of times would be that faithful Catholics across Europe would be worried that the growing Islamic footprint, which can, by the way, be slightly exaggerated. I mean, this notion that Europe is turning into Eurabia, you know, a kind of outpost of Islamic civilization, is a bit overheated. All the projections that I've looked at suggest that in most countries, Muslims are likely to level off at somewhere around 15 to 25% of the population and not get much higher than that. But in any event, there is fear that this growing Islamic presence is further diminishing the kind of Christian identity and the vitality of Christian culture in Europe. So that's the nightmare scenario. I think the best of times dynamic would be it's very clear that Benedict's vision, you know, when he gave that great Alliance of Civilization speech with Islam in Jordan in 2009, he was talking about the whole world, but I think he had in particular Europe in mind. Because the fundamental clash of civilizations that Benedict sees in this world does not run between Christianity and Islam. It runs between belief and unbelief. That is, it runs between cultures that take seriously a vibrant public role for people of religious faith and those that seek to drive religion out of the public square. And in that contrast, he believes that Muslims and Christians should be natural allies. And so I think those who are most in sync with Benedict's thinking believe that gradually what could emerge in Europe is a cultural context in which religion has a stronger role to play because faithful Christians and faithful Muslims, along with faithful Jews and others, are standing shoulder to shoulder behind the notion that people of faith ought to have a right of citizenship in European debates.
Very helpful analysis and something that would benefit our own culture here in the U.S., I think.
On that note, we're going to go to a break here. This has been a tremendous discussion. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi on Catholic Community of Faith. Our phone number 312-255-8408. And our guest, Sister Joan McGuire, Tom Masters, and John Allen will be back right after a break.
Pledge to run 26.2 miles in the 2012 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on October 7th with Team Catholic Charities. As a member of the team, you'll make a difference in the lives of more than 200,000 people in our emergency assistance programs in Cook and Lake Counties. Registration for the marathon is open and will sell out quickly, so join Team Catholic Charities today. You can also sponsor the team or join a committee. Call 312-655-7912 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. In 2012, we celebrate the Junior Board's 10th anniversary. Listen for special events each month to commemorate 10 outstanding years. Is your New Year's resolution to volunteer? Join our volunteer committee on Monday, February 13th at 6 p.m. at 721 North LaSalle to discuss and sign up for 2012's exciting lineup of volunteer opportunities. If you enjoy event planning or just want to have a couple cocktails for a good cause, be at 721 North LaSalle Tuesday, February 28th at 6 p.m. for the social committee meeting. Serve supper to the hungry and homeless on February 14th at 4:15 p.m. Package food for the emergency assistance program on February 21st at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about his ad limina visit to Rome and about turning 75. We'll show you highlights of the recent Posada on the streets surrounding Holy Name Cathedral. And our stewardship and development director will talk about all the good that comes from money collected during the annual Catholic Appeal.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz. And this morning we're talking with Sister Joel McGuire, the Director of our Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, Mr. Tom Masters, with the Focolare Movement, and with Mr. John Allen, contributing senior correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter. John, you're going to be the speaker at the annual Jerusalem lecture, Cardinal Bernardine Jerusalem lecture. So let's talk a little bit about the nature of Catholic-Jewish relationships within the U.S. in particular. What do you see as the trends? Is there anything new in the nature of the relationship between Catholics and Jews?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, I think, you know, historically, the impetus for making progress in this relationship was obviously the shadow of the Holocaust, the legacy of anti-Semitism, the need to stand shoulder to shoulder in sort of resisting all of that. To say nothing, of course, of the you know, startlingly obvious fact that Christianity arises out of Judaism and that the Hebrew Scriptures continue to be foundational for us too, and so on. I mean, so, and all of that is still there. But I think the couple of new elements are, it is becoming increasingly clear that in the secular West, Europe and North America, there is a kind of new challenge facing people of faith, which is there are kind of militant currents of secularism that are trying to sort of squelch the religious voice in public affairs. And I think you can make a very good argument that the two faith traditions that have the deepest sort of, you know, pools of intellectual resources to try to engage that would be Catholicism and Judaism. So that sort of imperative to defend the right of citizenship of religion in public debates, I think that's a new front where Catholics and Jews see that they have a great deal in common. I think the other thing is, right now, today, I think certainly for the Vatican, the highest international sort of social priority would be to try to defend Christians who are under fire for their faith in various parts of the world. I mean, it is a fact today that according to the International Society for Human Rights in Germany, which is not a church outfit, this is a secular human rights organization, 80% of all acts of religious persecution in the world today are directed at Christians. It's also a fact that...
No, that's a fascinating number.
Huh?
That's a fascinating number.
80%. There are 150,000 Christians every year who die for their faith, which means that in the half hour we've been talking, there are six or seven Christians somewhere in the world who have been killed for their faith.
Now, why do you think that that's a statistic that 99% of people would not be aware of?
Because I think in the West, we are so accustomed to thinking of Christianity as the dominant majority that the idea that there are Christians who are oppressed rather than oppressors is just a kind of new thought. But in any event, if there's any faith tradition in the world that has developed a set of resources for thinking about how do you defend yourself when you're under fire, it is obviously Judaism. And I think we have a great deal to learn from our Jewish brothers and sisters and how do we come to the defense of our embattled Christian brothers and sisters in various parts of the world.
So we just assume here in the United States, you know, we walk to church, we go to a gathering, Holy Week, not a problem. But, you know, there are Christians throughout the world who are truly oppressed, and your number is staggering, that in this one-hour program right now, six or seven Christians somewhere in the world have been killed.
Well, I mean, look, take a place like Iraq. You know, as 20 years ago, Iraq had the second largest Christian population in the Middle East, more than 2 million Christians. Today, the high-end estimate is there may be 400,000 left. The rest have either been killed or who have fled the country because of the political and social chaos and the rising tide of Islamic extremism. Iraq, in microcosm, is in many ways the story of Christianity in many parts of the world. And again, I say, in terms of figuring out how to readjust our mentality so that we can understand that there are Christians who are living as minorities and who are often facing persecution, we have a great deal to learn from our Jewish brothers and sisters in terms of how to navigate those challenges.
Now, we need to bring this to a close, believe it or not. We're going to talk about, to announce here, the 17th annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardine Jerusalem Lecture entitled Insights on Trends in the Global Church and Why Jews Should Care. Keynote speaker John Allen, who's been our guest the last half hour, with Sister Joel McGuire and Tom Masters. It's Tuesday, March 6th, beginning at 7 p.m. at Northwestern University's Norris Center, 1999 Campus Drive in Evanston. Free admission and parking. The phone number would be 312-534-4770. I want to thank in a very special way Sister Joel McGuire, Tom Masters, and John Allen for being with us here today. It's been an outstanding program. Special thanks to co-host Graziano Marcheschi, and an excellent job with our producer, Diane Dunnigan, and great work with our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To our listeners, God bless. Have a safe weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.